morning, everybody. Like Pastor Nick said, my name is Mike McGowan. I'm a member here at First Family Church. I'd like to welcome all you all here today. And I'm excited to share with you with the message that I have prepared. Before I begin, I'd like to just pray real quick.
Did you do numbers yet?
Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for bringing us here. We thank you, Lord, that we are able to serve everyone that has showed up to this morning, Lord God. And Father, we pray that you would open hearts and minds and ears, Lord, to receive your word. Help us, Father, to see you clearly and to, Lord, submit to you in all things. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so I'm going to be reading from 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through chapter 6, verse 2. This is written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. And it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in the favorable time, I listened to you, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." So let me start by speaking here today. I want to point out some things to anyone that is a believer here, that this message of reconciliation has been given to us to tell the world. That's why we're here today, serving here at the pantry. That's why the church is here, to give everyone here this message. We are to be heralds for the King, to take the message he has given us and to tell everyone who will listen that the King of the world is the Creator, Jesus Christ, and that we must all bow the knee, submit to the one who can set us free from the wrath to come, and to be joined to the body of Christ, be forgiven, and be reconciled to God. We are a new creation in Christ, verse 17 tells us. Jesus tells us in John 3:7, you must be born again. You see, we are all born with a sinful nature. All of us. We all inherit this from Adam as a result of him sinning in the garden. In Ezekiel 11, it tells us that we are born with a stone heart. The stone heart is rebellious against God. In fact, we hate God. These hearts cannot believe God. These hearts cannot even have faith in God. We are told that God will remove this heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. A heart that's able to have faith. A heart that will love God and his commands. He will also give us his Holy Spirit to live inside of us, of every believer. To be an advocate for righteousness. To guide your thoughts, your words, your deeds, according to God's will. His Spirit gives us assurance of salvation. This is the reconciliation verse 18 and 19 is speaking of. This reconciliation is to God. To reconcile means to restore friendly relationship with. Without that new birth, without that new heart, we stand against God as his enemies. But with reconciliation, we stand right before him, and we stand adopted. Through the new birth and a new heart with faith, we are adopted into his family and made children of God. We then dwell with God, having his Spirit live in us. Think of the grace God has for his people. His chosen people live lives of rebellion and hatred against him, against his created order. And God says, you're my enemy, but I'm going to make you my son, my daughter. That's grace. Romans 5:8 says, while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for sinners like you and like me. Not because we've done something to earn it. Not because we said a prayer one time or walked an aisle. Not because we've helped someone cross the street. No, not even because you go to church or you serve here at the pantry. No, we are reconciled to God by the Father, choosing people for his own good pleasure, to be his, to glorify him. You see, the purpose of life is not happiness or wealth or power. The purpose of life for all of creation, including us, is to glorify God. That's why God has created you. How do you glorify God? By loving him and doing what he commands. We were made to worship. It's just who or what are you going to worship? The answer to that question has an eternal result. Now, there's a lot to say about all these verses, but I would like to focus on verse 21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. Who's that talking about? What is that saying? He. Who is that? That's God. Who is the one who knew no sin? That's Jesus. So God has Jesus to be sin on our behalf. So that why? So that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God has Jesus to be sin for us so that we can become righteous like Jesus. That's what that's saying. So how does that work? How can Jesus be sin and we become righteous? Did the one who knew no sin start to sin? No. Do we do enough good things so that we can become righteous? No. Jesus is the perfect, sinless, holy Son of God who was given to be the perfect sacrifice for sin. Hear this news. You're a sinner. Without Christ, you will die and go to hell. It will be a just punishment for a life of rebellion you have lived against your Creator, the one and true Holy God. In God's Ten Commandments that he gave Moses, we can look at those and we can clearly see that we have not lived a life of obedience to God. So often, you can ask someone, do you think you're a good person? Of course I'm a good person. Well, have you lied? Have you stolen? So you're a liar and a thief. Are you still good? So, you see, God doesn't just look at the sins that we've done outwardly in our physical actions. He also judges our heart, our motivations, our thoughts, our words. There are no secrets from God. You have done nothing, said nothing, thought nothing he has not seen or heard. God knows every secret thing you have ever done. Let that sink. I want to be clear. Sin runs much deeper than you may think. If you've ever hated your brother, Jesus told us in Matthew 5:22 that you've committed murder in your heart. You're a murderer. If you've ever lusted after a woman, you've committed adultery in your heart. You have lived a life that deserves hell. We all have. We have lived lives as enemies of God. That sounds like bad news, right? It is. Now here's some good news. Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Our sins have earned us death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. Jesus tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes him will not perish, but will have eternal life. Life comes through Jesus Christ. Whoever repents of sin, that means to turn away from sin, the things God forbids. Whoever repents and believes in Christ through faith will receive eternal life. Salvation. God, in his great mercy, has sent his son, Jesus Christ, to come be born of a virgin, to live a perfect life of obedience to the law of God that we have not and cannot, to die on a cross in our place for the punishment our sins deserve, and then to rise 3 days later, defeating sin and death and the devil. Do you know why Jesus had to die? Why he has to go to the cross? Because that's what should have happened to us. Since we are sinners, we have earned the punishment that a sinner deserves, which is death and hell. But because of his great love, God sends his son, Jesus, to take the punishment in our place. The God of all creation is a victorious King. He has and will save every one of his people. Our sins separate us from God. God is just, and he must punish sin. We have broken the laws of God. He is a just judge and issues justice for lawlessness. We all need a Savior from our sins. Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All of us. Because God is just, he doesn't punish Jesus for sins of a believer and then punish you again for the same sins when you die. That'd be unjust. No. God the Father punished Jesus in our place once and for all. Amen. The debt is paid in full.
Thank you, Father.
A judge can let someone go once they've paid their fine. When the fine is paid, he can let them go, and it'll be legal and right and just. God has placed all the legal demands of sin onto Jesus on the cross. So Jesus takes on believer's sin, and in exchange, they receive Christ's righteousness as a cover. I think of my children at home putting a blanket on them and just saying, "Oh, you can't see me," right? But it's the same type of thing. Christ covers us in his righteousness. If you've repented of your sin and trusted in Jesus for salvation, then God looks at Jesus and sees your sin. He looks at the believer and sees Christ's perfect obedience. People that don't believe or trust in Christ, they cannot stand before God because the punishment for their sin is still to be paid in eternity. But believers are able to be in the presence of God. With Christ's righteous covering, believers, we can stand boldly before the throne of our King, knowing he is not counting our sins against us. Colossians 2:13-15, it says, "And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him." We were dead in our trespasses. We could do nothing. We have this record of debt, and we stand before a judge waiting to collect. How do we pay? Either by eternity in hell or Christ's righteousness being accounted to us and paying the ransom we have for our sins. This righteousness that believers receive is not their own. It's Jesus' righteousness. It's a gift. Christ's righteousness will be granted to you so that when the Father looks at Jesus on the cross, he sees all of your sins and punishes them onto Jesus. How does Jesus do that? Since Jesus lived a perfect life of obedience and never once sinned, he doesn't require punishment for his own sins because he has none. He's holy. He's perfect.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is God.
Yes.
Now he then becomes our substitute as a man and takes our place for everyone who believes in him. There's a great exchange that happens on the cross. When my kids are real small, I like to make trades with them. "Oh, if you go do this, I'll do this for you. You do this and we'll trade," right? But here's the trade at the cross. Jesus takes on the sin of every believer of all time, and in return, he gives each one of them his righteousness to cover. No longer does the Father see the stain of sin on believers, because the sin has been punished. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11 says, "Do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Does that sound like you? Sounds like a lot like I used to be. The Bible says, if you are like this, then you will not inherit the kingdom of God. So does it mean since I'm like this that there's no point? It doesn't matter. I'll never be saved. I'm not good enough. I'm too bad. I've done too much wrong. No. Praise God, the answer is no. The next verse after this says, And that is what some of you were. Remember, we are a new creation. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Friends, no matter how much or how great this sin you have committed, Christ's sacrifice is more. His blood was shed so that it would wash away every sin from you. If you come to him with a repentant heart and with faith in the work that Christ has done. Now see that you cannot be justified before God on your own. You can't be a good enough person. You need the perfect righteousness of Jesus to be given to you in exchange for your sin, to be taken from you and to be reconciled to God. A famous theologian named J.C. Ryle, who lived in the late 1800s, he has this quote. It says, "Tomorrow is the devil's day, but today is God's." Satan doesn't care how spiritual your intentions or how holy your resolutions, if only they were determined to be done tomorrow. Do not delay. We never know when our time is up. The devil loves for us to delay. As long as we feel like we have more time and we can push it down the road. Tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. We don't know. As I read earlier in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, it says, "Behold, now is the favorable time. Now is the day of salvation. Step out of death and into life." Revelations 21, 5 through 8 says, "And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Did you see what it said there? It is done. The last thing Jesus said on the cross is, "It is finished." Why would he say that? It's kind of a weird thing to say right before you die. Because he had taken all the punishment. He had satisfied all the Father's wrath for sin for every believer who would ever believe in him. God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is from before time and space and will exist forever. You will live forever. But where? Why? May God cause us to thirst for him and to turn from evil so that God may be yours and you may be his son with him forever. Salvation is something we cannot earn. We don't deserve it. It's only by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, that anyone is saved. So receive the grace of God to hear this gospel, this good news. Receive it in faith and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. He promises in Romans 10:13 that all that call on his name will be saved. I hope that the Spirit of God has convinced you of your great need of him. As our passage that we were reading said today, I implore you, come and be reconciled to God. We cannot be saved any other way. My call is to repent and believe in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for gathering these people here, Lord, to hear your word. And Father, thank you for using me to be able to be an ambassador for Christ. Lord, may you get glory in all things. And Father, help us, Lord, to serve these people with any need that they may have. And help us, Father, to glorify you. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.